podcasting. Now, in case y'all didn't know, they've been podcasting since before podcasting was even called podcasting. Archives of this show are available on every major podcast provider. And you can find video archives, merch, and more on their website, godfathersofpodcasting.com. Now, here are your hosts, two guys who have been broadcasting online since 1996. The Godfathers of Podcasting themselves, Donnie DeSilva and Chris Tidwell.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Godfathers of Podcasting. It is October 17th, and it's been a few weeks since we've been here. We'll talk about that a little bit later on, but we are here now. Enjoy it. Donnie DeSilva, my brother from another mother, Notorious T.I.D., Chris Tidwell. Tid, how the hell are you doing?
You know what? It has been a few weeks, but it hasn't been uneventful. I mean, schedules, life, it's crazy. Yes. You know, people starting new careers, people hating old careers. it's just, you know, it's wild times out there, man. And I mean, listen, Halloween is coming up. Let's face facts. It's the coolest holiday of all the holidays.
You know what I mean? It's Christmas.
Especially of all the holidays that you don't get off from work. I mean, not what you were thinking, you filthy pig.
I understand you completely.
I know you do.
Yeah, so lots been going on. We'll talk a little bit more about that towards the end of the program. I will say everything's been super busy. Thanks to everyone who's been supporting us with our new projects. Tid over at The Law, myself, very busy with Huge Pop and everything that's going on over there with my partner, Jimmy Corderas. It has been super intensely busy over the last little while, but we really appreciate everyone who has made the trip over to our other projects and been supporting over there. Before we get to our guest, Tid, I just want to throw this out there for the audience and for you, a couple of quick, because you know we love talking pop culture around here, and I need to make a couple of quick recommendations, because this past week I saw not one, but two new movies in theater with my kid. It's been a minute since I've actually been out to the theater, but you know, it's one of my favorite things to do and one of your least favorite things to do. Mm-hmm. But I did go out and check out a couple of new films. The first one, you're going to scoff, but I'm telling you, this is way better a movie than it has any business being. And that is the Transformers 1 film.
It like is the first Transformers.
Essentially, it is a prequel slash origin story to the entire Transformers lore. It is really, really well done. And it's got some heavyweights in the film as voice actors, Chris Hemsworth, Scarlett Johansson, Lawrence Fishburne, Keenan Michael Key. Like, there's some real heavyweights in this thing. And it is really good. A lot of inside jokes for the older generation that kids are just not going to get. They even drop a few cuss words, which was surprising. For a PG rated film, kind of surprising. Ooh. But really well done. I mean, they show you like billions of years ago, before the Transformers became the Transformers, Optimus Prime and Megatron were homies. They were BFFs. Right. And they didn't have transforming cogs, meaning they could not transform into anything. They were slave bots.
Come on, for who?
For an evil overlord. They were slave bots working in the mines, mining for energy.
I don't believe it.
And they were homies.
Say it isn't so.
It's so well done, man. Wow. It's so well. And the other film I'm going to highly recommend to everyone, the new Pharrell Williams biography called Piece by Piece, entirely presented in Lego.
Yeah, that one I did see the ad for come up on my TV, and that one actually does interest me. Listen, that's, none of these Lego movies.
Art. That's art.
I can't get through the Lego movies themselves. I don't know. Maybe it's just me. I enjoy animation. I enjoy all sorts of it. Just for some reason, I don't know. I like my Spider-Man movies to be my Spider-Man movies. I like my Batman movies to be my Batman movies. I don't need them to be turned into toys and then try to do another movie with it. It's too much for this brain to handle. And as you see, this brain can't handle a heck of a lot, as you know what I'm saying?
So yeah, well, this documentary is not a documentary. Mm-hmm. This is a next level piece of performance art, and it is so well done. A million celebrity appearances in this film, as you can imagine, because Pharrell has worked with everyone. You know how when you read a celebrity's autobiography, and like, I've said this for years, right? Well, I know you don't read. I'm speaking to the audience. But if you, someone has said to me in the past, like, oh, you read so-and-so's book. How was it? And I'm like, it was mildly entertaining with many glaring omissions. Yeah. You know, that's kind of what you get from an autobiography. Pharrell goes in on himself. Like, he fully outs himself as being selfish and narcissistic and kind of a dick. And it's...
My
12-year-old walked away from this saying, that was really motivational and inspiring. I'm like, what?
Well, you know what? I too am also, there's a movie out there that's very motivationally inspiring. I kind of look at it as an autobiography. Well, not of myself, but of art. And I will be checking it out. It's called Terrifier 3. It's out in theaters right now. So, you know.
That is an autobiography. it is Art the Clown.
More clown than art, trust me.
Jesus.
Wow. Well, but speaking of people that have artistic abilities and abilities that
far beyond our own.
Woo-wee, man. If there was ever a thing to describe me as nothing, it's anything artful whatsoever. So this guy is like 12 steps ahead of me.
It's time right now, ladies and gentlemen, to bring him in. It's time for the big hello. Our guest this week is a very, very patient man, not just because he sat through our ridiculous opening banter, but because for the last 3 weeks, he was scheduled to be our guest. And unfortunately, as we mentioned off the top, competing priorities got in the way, and we ended up giving him the Matt Damon treatment a couple times. Our bad. But here we are now, an opportunity to chat with this guy who's a voice actor and puppeteer from Los Angeles, CA. He started out as a teenager working for the Jim Henson Company and has since performed in a bunch of screen projects, stage productions, all kinds of things, working his puppet magic. He's actually one of the puppeteers in my favorite movie to watch with an edible. It's The Happy Time Murders. That's one of those films sit there and go, what's happening? In his early 20s, he made the transition from full-time puppeteer to voice actor, and he's been heard on Beavis and Butthead, Hell of a Boss, Duncanville, and a whole ton of others. He popped up on my social media feed just a few weeks ago with his Simpsons impressions, recreating quotes from the presidential debate. Ted, do we have that handy? Let's take a listen.
No! I have a concept of a plan.
Do why in Springfield they're eating the dogs, the people that came in here. They're eating the cats. They're eating the pets. The people that live here.
Yeah! Now she wants to do transgender operations on illegal aliens in prison!
I got involved with the Taliban.
And then I read that she was black. Either way, it's okay with me.
Execution? After birth.
It's like four sentences. Like run, Spot, run.
And I told Abdul, don't do it!
Our country is going to hell. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, give it up for the extremely talented and very patient Jaden LeBron. What's up, man?
Thank you. Thank you for having me, Donnie. Chris, good to see you guys.
Yeah, good to be seen, I tell you. Dude, you are absolutely super talented and impressive. I was saying to Tid before you joined, like, we've had a whole bunch of voice actors on this show over the years, and it's one of my favorite. It's one of my favorite talents to dive into, you know, whether it was way back on like episode 3 of this program when we had our pal Andrew Cascino, whose voice has been heard in everything, Eric Bauza, who's also been in everything, Bryn McCauley, who was on a month or so ago. She is the voice of many Canadian children's tortured past.
PTSD, sure.
Yeah. They all have PTSD hearing her voice as the bratty French Canadian child Caillou, which was torturous at the best of times. And dude, your work is so unbelievably crisp. I mean, I watched that Simpsons clip that we just shared with the audience. I watched it in my video editing software so I could try to determine, is this guy like lip syncing? Like, is this just production magic? Like, what's going on here? I'm trying, because it's so on point. Thank you. Almost seems unfair, dude.
Yeah, I've been doing Simpsons impressions publicly for the last 4 years or so. Mm-hmm. It's funny, you mentioned Eric Bauza. I met him a few years ago at Los Angeles Comic Con, and now we share a voiceover agency. So
wow. That's
a lot of fun. I just got signed with SBV. They're my agents now. So they represent him and Rob Paulson, who is Yakko Warner on Animaniacs. And,
right.
Johnny Bravo's voice actor, Jeff Bennett, and a host of other character actors and people who I've grown up watching for many years now. And now I'm in a position where I get to work with them. I get to see these people. I get to run into them in the booth. So that's been very exciting. And, you know, that's what I look forward to as my career blossoms and moving forward.
At what point, I got to ask, though, because you talk about these agencies, you start working together, you see each other in the booth, in and out of the different projects all of the time. At what point do you start doing impersonations of each other?
It sort of relies on you to know the person well for you to do an impression of them, and vice versa. I don't know that I could do an Eric impression, but one of the difficult things is, you know, they do so many different voices, you kind of forget what their real voice sounds like.
It's so true, right? It's so true. He's been on this show a bunch of times in the past. He's a friend, and he's from the same town that I'm from here in the Toronto area. Super talented guy. And yeah, dude, your stuff stands right up there with his. Really super impressive. I'm a huge fan of the whole animation genre, right? Not just the thing that's been on vogue ever since The Simpsons with the adult themed animation. I like everything, you know, like I'm a kid at heart. And I mentioned in the open, I went this past week and saw Transformers with my kid. He wanted to go see it. I hadn't even seen an ad for this thing. I hadn't seen a trailer. I didn't know what to expect. And I walk into a Transformers film and I'm all getting amped up because I was a Transformers geek as a kid. And I'm like, all right, Peter Cullen, Optimus Prime, let's go. And my son looks at me and goes, it's Chris Hemsworth. I'm like, what? What are we talking about? That's sacrilege. Peter Cullen is always Optimus Prime. Am I the only one that gets that triggered by a change like that for an iconic character?
I mean, no, it happens all the time. You know, when you get accustomed to hearing a voice for many years, decades or so, sometimes, you know, half a century with these people, it can be shocking to hear somebody that's not, you know, the voice that you grew up with. But I think Hollywood right now has a more of a gravitation towards celebrity A-listers as opposed to people who are, one, older, but two, voice actors in general, people that do voices as a living and don't necessarily show their face. So when Hollywood is putting out these new movies, animated movies, it's always Ariana Grande. It's always Chris Pratt. It's always, you know, the big names of the day. But, you know, that's what sells is what the idea is. But I think, you know, there's plenty of room for traditional voice actors to do it too. Not that, you know, Hollywood actors are bad, but it shouldn't be dependent on, you know, one success to sell a movie.
No, but I get that, because when I was younger, okay, one of my big passions in life, aside from broadcasting and all that stuff, one of my big passions in life is basketball. And for more than 20 years, I was coaching kids at a very, very high level. I've worked with, you know, top prep schools. I've done, you know, work with junior colleges and traveling all over the world with basketball teams. And there was a time, Jaden, where I was like, man, I'd love a job as a college coach. I would love a job, like, you know, in the NCAA. I would love a job as an assistant in the NBA, you know, because I had friends that had made that jump, had made that transition. I'm like, wow, that'd be really cool. That would be a dream job. And then I start looking, and I'm like, oh, Jason Kidd just got hired. Years of coaching experience, zero. Patrick Ewing just got hired. Years of coaching experience, zero. Like, and this is a trend that just kept going and going and going. And it's got to kind of feel that way for you as a trained voice actor who's auditioning for gigs, looking for plum opportunities. It's like, oh, Scarlett Johansson got it. Oh, thank you.
Right. Yeah. I've had auditions like that where it's like, oh, crap. Like, I'll just throw an example. Like, oh, look, I got a Joker audition. That's awesome. Or I've got, you know, this popular cartoon character that's been a while. It's been around a while. And I put myself in for it. And then months go by and I see who's announced as the actor. And it's a Hollywood A-lister. So, you know, I guess that's part of the game. When it comes to acting, you're always going to be up against somebody who's well-known, somebody who's little-known, tends to favor people who are well-known, but there is no animosity towards that, I would say. It's just sort of how it works out. A lot of the time, it's who you know, as opposed to, you know, who might be right for the job. You saw the uproar that Mario got when that, you know, Chris Pratt was announced as the voice of Mario, and then Garfield.
Yeah.
Probably Fred Flintstone next. It tends to be based on who you know, who's a Hollywood household name, and not, you know, who can do an authentic Mario sounding voice.
The Super Mario movie had all kinds of uproar, not just Chris Pratt playing Mario, but I don't know if you're aware of this one or not, but an actor who I actually love, John Leguizamo, he came out saying, well, they're taking roles away from Hispanics because Luigi should be a Hispanic because I played Luigi in the original live action Super Mario movie. It's like, he's still Italian.
Yeah, that's where it gets sort of confusing, but I think I kind of get what he's saying. I think he feels a more personal connection to that because he played it. But you know, when it comes down to casting, I think there needs to be certainly a better reflection of diversity in the roles that people play. And I think that, you know, oftentimes roles get overlooked in favor of Hollywood A-listers and people we know. But yeah. I sense that there's a change happening, and I think we're seeing names that no one's heard before appearing in animation and TV and movies, and they're becoming the new faces.
Well, I think there's got to be, like, because recently I just watched the latest Planet of the Apes, the Kingdom of the Conquest of the whatever of the planet, right? The latest.
It's the worst title.
It's really bad. But I'm sitting here watching this and I'm like amazed. The whole thing, obviously CGI, and just the way that they've been able to humanize something that isn't human and then just put the voice over. And I'm like, yo, some of these actors, like Hollywood is going to be screwed, blued and tattooed if they don't get it together, because stuff like as soon as they figure out how to do that with a human, I mean, that's going to open everything up for strictly nothing but voice actors, I would think, right?
See, that's sort of a gray area, because right now Hollywood, and we just got over a major strike last year, is more concerned about the money-saving aspect, especially when it comes to voice actors, where now if they just record your voice once, they could repurpose it in any kind of possible way digitally through AI. So yeah. It is sort of a, you know, that sounds like a great idea, like, oh, there's this booming amount of work for voice actors. But in reality, many of us actors will tell you that Hollywood is trying to pinch every penny possible so as to not pay voice actors a livable wage, so as to not dish out residuals, so as to not bring them back for recordings when this is a character that they played for many years.
Well, to that end, I have seen a trend over the last year with a lot of films reverting back to using practical effects as opposed to CGI.
Yeah.
There's a lot of films out there where you see characters in the film that could have been, or in the past would have been, completely CGI generated. And now you're realizing they are either in part or in whole puppeteered. So I'm wondering if, for you as a longtime puppeteer, if you see that trend and go, someone might be calling me, someone might be calling me to do a little puppet work.
Well, I have noticed that. Yeah. And, you know, I do think that for, I guess, the last 20 years or so, we saw a major shift away from practical effects. And totally. As a result, movies did a lot worse than they used to. Movies aren't as iconic. Movies aren't as memorable as they were, with the oversaturation of big CGI characters. You go into a Marvel movie, that's sort of what you expect, is a big CGI fight of sorts with big CGI looking characters. And, you know, that's fun for a while. It's impressive even in many cases. But how much can you truly push the boundaries of CGI when everything can just be composited into a computer and rendered out in 45 minutes or what have you, and then you've got a movie, bing, bang, boom? But I think people have taken a step back and they've said, you know, this was impressive what we used to do and how we used to do it. And it's amazing how we were able to achieve such shots and such ideas without having to use computers. And certainly there's a level of appreciation towards the more tangible, as opposed to something you can't see. Because when you're in a studio covered in ping pong balls in a blue suit, you're looking at nothing. You're looking at a stick, basically, that somebody's waving in front of you for you to act in front of. But when you've got this big suit or a monster or something, the audience connects with that. They feel some tangibility there. They feel as though this is something that can exist in the real world. And as a result, we sympathize with that. You look at Pan's Labyrinth. All of those were costumes. Doug Jones is in a skin suit. He's in a suit. And that feels like something that one would see vividly. But, you know, you take something that's been rendered and generated, it doesn't have that same level of believability, in my opinion.
Yeah. And then you see, too, there is use case scenarios now for a marriage of the two, right? Where you get the technology and the practical. A show that my kid and I love watching together and we can't wait for the next season is The Mandalorian. That's right. And that Baby Yoda Grogu character, when it first popped on screens a few years ago, I thought the thing was 100% CGI.
Yeah.
And then I watched Favreau talk about it, and it is super sophisticated robotics that is, as he said, puppeteered by about 6 different people. Which is wild, because they make that little fucker charming as hell, you know. and it's wild to see how it's done and how intricate it is. You know, they can move little individual muscles in his face in order to make his eyes more expressive. I mean, to me, that's kind of a cool combination of those two different art forms, where in the past it was kind of like it was binary, either right? It was on or off,
right? Yeah.
And it's kind of cool to see that. Yeah, yeah, it's neat.
I've liked seeing that. If you've seen the new Dark Crystal show on, it's canceled now, but the newest Dark Crystal show on Netflix, they sort of did the same thing, where they have all physical puppets, just like the original movie Jim Henson did. But every now and then you might need like a snarl or something, or a light flash or a glare or dripping or blood or something. And there's only so much you can do with a puppet. But, you know, now that you've got those added effects, you can bring a whole new level of life to this character that's already very vivid up to a next scale. And I think that's sort of where we should be approaching this. I think that is how movies should be going about, how creatures should look. I did not like, personally, the 2005 King Kong that had the big CGI one. That didn't look believable. But you look at the old one,
goofy.
That looks like a monster that would storm the streets. You look at the old movies, that looks like a believable thing.
Yeah. I've watched Happy Time Murders more times than I want to admit in public. It is super enjoyable. So inappropriate on so many levels. So can you tell me, so that the next time I grab an edible and sit down to watch it, I can go, that one's Jaden.
So the characters that I played, is that what
Yeah.
It was an assortment of background characters.
Okay.
I'm trying to think here. There's a scene where they're at this strip club, and
yes,
Elizabeth Banks is on the pole with those gaggle of horny rabbits, and I play one of the, there's this ape character that turns his head around and then he's gawking, he's got his mouth wide open, and that was one that I played. I'm trying to remember, I honestly can't quite remember, but I just remember that one because I was seeing Elizabeth Banks dancing and that was pretty cool.
So not the masturbating octopus.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I was one of the tentacles on that. I was, on that one. That was a two-day shoot for that one. They had white paint mixed with water for the squirting of the udders for that one. And God, I did all sorts of crazy stuff on that.
That is an insane film. Yeah, it was one of the masturbating tentacles.
Yeah.
Such a wacky film. Go ahead, Tim. Yeah,
what has been the, like, I mean, is that the most outrageous? Like, ejaculating tentacles? Or have you showed up on set, you know what I mean? Or read through something and been like, well, okay, this is completely out there. What's been the craziest thing that you've had to deal with so far?
Craziest thing I've had to deal with? Well, that movie was very fun, but there were some crazy on-set stories for that one. There was a car accident, for one. We had, you know, the puppet, the main character, Phil, he drives a 66 Thunderbird, I think. And for that, the puppeteers have to be below the dashboard. You know, the engine is carved out so that the people can go, you know, past the pedals and lie on the floor on the car. And somebody else is driving the car electronically by remote control. So they're off on the distance, and if you're passing by that car, you'll just see a puppet driving a car. And I think people got distracted by that on the day, and they rammed into it. They weren't, you know, looking. They rammed into the car, and we had to cancel a day of shooting for that one. I know somebody had fallen at some point and broke their leg. For puppets, they have the sets raised up like that, at least, you know, 4, 5, 6 feet off the ground so that the puppeteers can stand up and walk freely. And one of the, I can't remember what her role was, one of the, I think, costumers or something, was not noticing that there was a huge 6-foot gap in the floor and walked straight into it and broke her leg in two different spaces. So those are some things that happen. Nothing that, you know, affected me personally.
Because you know there's a hole.
Yeah. Yeah. Damn. Puppets could be quite deadly. But other than that, it was a pretty fun shoot. Everyone was okay. I'm happy to say that. And we had a good time with that one. But, you know, I can't say that there was many crazy things that happened to me on set that I remember. So, yeah.
As my dad used to say, she had to pay the ignorant tax. She was ignorant to the hole.
It cost her an arm and a leg.
And she paid for it. Help me deal with this rumor that is in the pop culture zeitgeist. Although I'm realizing that there's a very good possibility that if the rumor is true, you may be signed to a contract and unable to properly answer it anyway. So just give us a wink. There is a story that in the new year, in 2025, there will be a King of the Hill reboot. And Mike Judge is a massive fan of your Hank Hill. And that you may, in fact, have been tapped on the shoulder to be the new Hank Hill.
No. That's Mike's creation. That's his character. I am not playing Hank Hill. I'm not involved in the show, but Mike is a great guy. We still keep in touch. I just did Beavis and Butthead. We recorded for new episodes for season 3. But no, I'm not involved with the new King of the Hill. I don't know what the release date is for that. I do know it's 2025. I think it's Q1 or Q2.
Right. But
it'll be on Hulu. It'll be a Hulu original. And I think that's sort of what we can expect from that is older Hank Hill, older Bobby Hill. He's 21 years old, and the rest of the characters. I did want to be on that show when they had announced Johnny Hardwick, who's the voice of Dale, had passed away. I posted a few Dale Gribble videos, and nothing came about from that. But you know, I hope whatever they decided to do or whomever they got does a serviceable job.
Yeah, let's hear your Hank Hill just in case someone tragically falls ill.
Yeah, I tell you what, this here is a tap and die. Cost me about $1.50 over here. Might cost you $1.25 at the Megalomart, but it's approximately 2 centimeters smaller in diameter. That's the shrinkflation for you, I tell you what.
And I'm Beavis and Butthead. Who do you do?
So I'm their manager at Burger World. These guys are always slacking off here, but I'm not legally allowed to fire the mentally deficient. And I play their classmate, Cody.
These guys suck. I mean, they stole all my games. They stole my Xbox. I want it back. They stole my PlayStation. They just suck.
Yeah.
This guy fucks.
You can do the whole cast. Really, I mean, it's ridiculous. Who are your most requested characters? Like, what's the party trick that people are always, come on, Jaden, do this one.
Oh, definitely my Simpsons voices.
Yeah, those are killer.
I love doing my Homer voice.
I do much to see Montgomery Burns.
And, of course, Waylon Smithers, sir.
Professor Frankenstein.
Barney Gumbo. Hey, Krusty the Clown here. Oh, that'll be $55. Oy.
Sideshow Mel. And, of course, Sideshow Bob.
And, yeah, it's usually the Simpsons voices, Family Guy sometimes, and Hank. Those are the big three.
You know, those impressions are so good that, like, let's be honest, okay? I've been a fan of The Simpsons since season one, before you were born, man, okay? I've been a fan of that show since season one, and that cast is aging out. I mean, there's probably a few people on there like, okay, time to cash in the 401k and go gently into that good night. Like, have you ever been in touch with anyone from the show? Like, hey, I can be an understudy.
Well, here's the thing. I auditioned for the show when they were casting in 2020. They put out a few roles. Wanted to have actors of color playing them. Carl, Dredrick Tatum, Dr. Hibbert. Lou the cop. I auditioned for all those guys, didn't get them, but I did get relationships out of that. Practically all of the old showrunners and writers had seen my work and had contacted me. Some of them I work with. I'm working now with Michael Price, who's a writer on The Simpsons, and he's doing a new show coming very soon that I can't quite talk about yet. But and I've worked with Mike Reese. I've worked with Mike Scully on Duncanville. Bill Oakley, I did a short with. And I've talked to a number of the people on the show. And I got to meet the voice of Homer Simpson. I met Matt Groening. I met all the writers last year during the strikes. And we were at a strike at the Fox lot in Los Angeles, the Fox Studios lot. And everyone was there except for, you know, mainly the voice actors. But Dan, who plays Homer, was there. And I walked up to him and I said to him,
"Oh, Dan, I love your voices."
And Matt Groening was standing next to us, and he said that he didn't even know which one of us said that. So that was a huge compliment. And I rattled off, and I did my Krusty voice, and I did a bunch of other voices for Dan. And Dan had a sore throat, so he couldn't do his Krusty laugh for me. That was the only one I requested. But he did. He was gracious enough to walk over to a donut stand. Funnily enough, and he got me an autograph on a blank sheet of paper, and I have that framed in my living room now.
That's wild.
That's amazing. Yeah. That's amazing. Have you ever done one of those, like, you know, dueling banjos back and forth, like recorded a full set yet? You know what I mean? Where you go back and forth with somebody in their voices?
Not recording. Not that I can think of, but I did do that with Eric Bauza. And,
is know, there think... okay? So is there like rap battles? Is there rap battles for like voiceover guys?
There can be.
I'm saying that's a hell of a video concept. Yeah, you put that shit up.
This is a Netflix
show.
It's
been done before. There's actually a documentary called "I Know That Voice." Is from 2013, okay. And you'll see Mark Hamill and Kevin Michael Richardson, who have both played the Joker at some point, go back and forth with their Joker voices with the battle. but I did that with the Looney Tunes characters when I met Eric. And it was funny. It was so back and forth. I was doing Sylvester and he was doing Tweety and then I was doing Daffy. And then he told me,
"All right, slow down there, Doc. I still want my job."
So that was.
But I'm telling you, if you were to do rap battles, but as the characters back and forth dissing one another, right?
That should be a thing. I don't know why it's not a thing, actually. It's a good idea.
Somebody needs to do it.
Bussin'.
I feel like that's a Netflix show. And you know what?
That needs to be a show.
Everyone listening, fuck off. We're producing it.
Right? Listen, if they just put two dudes eating hot dogs up on there, right. Like, come on. This is way better.
I'm filing the IP right now so everyone can fuck off. Like, that's a money concept. Yeah, man, it's super impressive. I've always secretly dreamt of being a voice actor, doing impressions. I don't have that gift. I believe I've said this to other voice actors on the show in the past. I think I have the ear, right? Because I can pick up really stupid little nuances in someone's cadence or their delivery. And I think that's part one, right? The musicality of their voice. But it's the finding the pitch and all of that. Like, man, that is an art. And I know that it's not something that is just a born talent that you just woke up one day and you're Homer Simpson. Like, you put a lot of effort and work into it. And clearly you work at your craft. Maybe that's a problem. Maybe I'm just too lazy. Maybe I could do it, but maybe I'm a great voice actor. I'm just lazy. That could be it.
I mean, everybody does voices throughout their day. They just don't notice it. But, you know, I've talked to so many people with the same idea, such as yourself, that say that they want to do it, but they don't know that they can. But subconsciously, everybody does a voice during their day. When you see a cute dog or a baby, oh, how cute. Oh, my God. When you're waking up in the morning, oh, God, what do you want? You know, everybody has that voice that they can do. It's just being able to fine tune it, maintain it, and know where it lies in the throat where people get lost. But you know, whenever you wake up, everybody yawns.
Well, now you've got Patrick Starr here.
You know, you could do a character right there. That automatically becomes a voice. Or when you say,
"Oh, what a goochie goochie little baby. Oh, now you got your little Tweety Bird here. Oh, I thought I got what it get."
So it's like, you know, everybody can do the voices. It's just focusing in on where that voice lies and how to manifest it.
Everybody doesn't have those voices, though. Tid has two voices. He has normal Tid and angry Tid, and that's it.
Well, that's a character. That can be a character.
It's a character, all right.
Speaking of characters, do you have your... I know I'm putting you on the spot, Tid, but do you have your little puppets nearby?
No.
Oh, okay. I do have some of them nearby, yeah.
I was asking Tid if he did, because he's got his own puppets.
Oh. Yeah. Oh, no. Do you?
But if you did too, that's my dear.
Here's a question for you. Yeah. Here's a question for you. Does this also work with singing?
Oh.
Does what work exactly?
Like your ability to take a voice, like a Homer Simpson voice that wasn't something that you created, but you nail it. Can you do the same thing with singing? You know what I mean?
If you have a similar vocal quality to your favorite singers or what have you, many people can match or come close to that, but it's a little bit harder to mimic a singer. You know, everybody or just about everybody can do a Michael Jackson.
You know, they do a little Michael Jackson like that.
But everyone's voice is so unique when they sing, and it's actually a different part of the brain when you sing versus when you speak. You know, there's people that have major stutters that sing so beautifully without a single, you know, slip up. And I don't know that it's, you know, something that people can mimic per se, but with effort and with classes and with so much dedication, you certainly could match a voice.
When I was in high school, you just reminded me of something funny. When I was in high school, I had an English teacher who I loved and adored. And he said something to me that tripped me the hell out. And to this day, it's in my head. And it's the stupidest thing to pay attention to. But he's like, "You ever notice how singers that have really thick accents don't have an accent when they sing?"
Yeah. Yeah. See, when I was a kid, it baffled me how many people were British. Because I heard
right.
I didn't know that, you know, like Elton John or or the Beatles.
The Beatles, Oasis. Right.
Nobody
like,
sounded like it.
No, they just sound so American. Strange. All of them. Right. They just like
I
it's
never
so,
understood it.
I still don't get that phenomenon. You know, you listen to like whoever it is, some Irish singer, Scottish singer, they start singing. Now, if it's some Irish jig, then yeah, because you don't know what the fuck they're saying.
But it's a different somebody coming up here. Yeah, I'm gonna sing an old song here for my neighborhood. Oh, this is a wonderful day. And
yeah, it's like the accent just vanished. I'm sure that there's something in the brain that makes that the way it is. You know what I mean? Because it's just so bizarre.
I don't know.
I'm going to write a thesis on it. I'm going to do some research because I'm fascinated how you talk with and like you're from Liverpool and you've got that thick, unmistakable Liverpool accent. Mm-hmm. And then you start singing. It's like, oh, Danny boy, where the fuck did this shit come from? You know, I don't know, man. And then you talk to them and go, hey, can you do an American accent? No, mate, I can't.
Oh, yeah, squirrel. Is that how you say it there? Yeah,
it's
that
so
is very interesting.
Wacky.
Yeah, like Adele. Adele has a very... I thought she was black, first off.
Right. The way she sings.
When I saw her for the first time about a decade ago, is wow, this is a little white woman. Okay. But I honestly don't know. I don't know what that phenomenon is called. I couldn't tell you.
It's wild. Yeah. Speaking of phenomenons, I'm going to say this as we say goodnight to you. If you missed it, in my introduction off the top, lots of good voice acting in this film. And I highly recommend it to you. If you have not already seen it, go watch the Pharrell Williams Piece by Piece film, because my God, that is a piece of art. That is more art than movie. And it is so well done. Like I usually don't glaze this much over a stupid movie, but it is just unbelievably well done. And I highly, highly recommend it, especially to people that work in entertainment. I think it's just so, so interesting.
Do you have a guilty pleasure? Like, cause you do so much voiceover stuff with animation and everything like that. And sometimes, you don't want to watch work, so to speak, mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So like, is it like, are you like an underground pro wrestling fan, or do you like watching like women's basketball from Europe at 3 o'clock in the morning? Because you're a degenerate gambler like myself. I'm a fan. It's been known to happen a time or two. Right. Like, do you have like what is your get away from it all to relax type of deal?
You know, if it's video stuff, then it's a weird niche, but I do like seeing back cracking videos for some reason. It just looks so I don't know why. I don't know why. But
what
also,
is that?
People getting their backs adjusted.
No, I get it, but I'm saying, what is that fascination?
I don't know, but just hearing people crack their neck, I'm like, ooh, that sounded good, you know.
Do you watch pimple poppers too?
Not that, but I do watch tonsil stone removals. And that's an even more weird niche. I don't know why. But
who didn't hug you as a child?
My dentist, apparently.
Right?
Holy shit. I don't know. That does it for me. That's like when I'm barely able to sleep at 3 o'clock in the morning, I'm like, all right, let's pull up some back cracking and fucking tonsil stone removal videos, and I'll do it.
Other dudes your age just go to Pornhub
maybe he's finished Pornhub. All right.
Sometimes, who knows?
But you gotta relax with some back cracking.
I like to watch, you know, old Muppet stuff. I like classical music and old animation. Simpsons is nice. my comfort show. And I'll put on something that I've watched 1,000 times already, like Malcolm in the Middle or American Dad or something, King of the Hill. It's pretty much all the shows that I've imitated here, you know, right. Watch and pick up. And, you know, that just brings me comfort. It just brings me memories. I don't care how many Christmases I'll watch a certain show a year in a row or so. It's, you know, it's that time of the year again. It's time to watch that Simpsons Christmas episode or whatever. And, you know, it's good.
I'm the same way. I'm the same way every year. A year without Santa Claus is one of my favorite go-tos, and it's only because of the heat miser and the freeze miser and the sun that goes along with it. It's the best part of Christmas. After that, I'm done and done with it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's fun.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I discovered the Year Without Santa Claus thing like two Christmases ago, and just was mesmerized by it. I had never seen it before. I didn't grow up with it. But like, wow, these characters are so enjoyable. It's so entertaining. I was singing the Snow Miser song up until February next year. It's just so charming. And we just I don't see that in media these days. It's just these characters that, even if it's like 12 minutes of screen time, exist so far beyond that, are just so iconic and memorable and joyful. So
I think the day and the days of, like you mentioned it earlier, the Muppet Show, like an entire program that everybody at the time when it was out, like this was go-to television. Like you had to, oh shit, got to be home and ready in time. Yeah. You know, Muppet Show is going to be on. And this was fantastic. Yeah. And then, you know, Jim Henson tried to do some stuff on Saturday Night Live when they first started out, and everybody went, yo, this is way too wild.
Let's go back to the Muppet Show. They called them the mucking puppets.
Yeah.
Okay. Before we go, I want to ask you this. If you were a betting man, obviously you're a big fan of The Simpsons. Mm-hmm. They just started season 36.
Wow.
And by the way, if y'all out there have slept on The Simpsons new season, it starts.
Oh, yeah.
It starts brilliantly with an appearance by Conan O'Brien hosting like a dinner with a bunch of celebrities, almost like an awards night. And they're talking about, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for the final episode of The Simpsons. And then they bring out an AI machine to write the final episode of The Simpsons. And then they finally decide, oh no, it's not the final episode. We're just getting
it's
started.
So good. It's so good.
It's brilliantly done. It makes you think, because they've joked for more than a decade and a half. Like, how much longer can we do this shit? You know? Mm-hmm. So here's my question. If you're a betting man, how much longer does The Simpsons go for?
Oh, well, if C. Montgomery Burns were to bet $1 billion on The Simpsons, I'd say all eternity. Excellent.
Certainly, sir.
I mean, let's be honest. If they got talented assholes like you running around, they could run this thing forever. They really could. Pretty wild that after 36 years, Bart finally turned 11.
Yeah. It's a non-canon one. It was AI, so I guess it's him. But
so I guess it
in all seriousness, I do think that they'll aim for 40. 40 is just about. I think they're trying to do 1,000 episodes of the show. So around 40, 45 seasons, I think, is the amount that they reach for that. So it'll be in its 40s. The show will hit 40-something, and life will go on. We will die with Simpsons still airing episodes past our death, past worms devouring our corpses, and it'll just exist.
It's pretty friggin' wild. And there's so many people out there. Oh, I used to like The Simpsons when it was good. It's still good. It's still good.
Yeah. You know, I always say no true Simpsons fan only likes 1/5 of the show. There's still so much that's been slept on, so many great episodes. The one you mentioned is one of my new favorites. It's so funny.
Oh my
God. 33 and 34, amazing stuff. And people have been sleeping on it. So, you know, when people say new Simpsons is bad, ask them to name a new episode.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dan Castellaneta trips me out too. That guy's worth like almost $90 million. And when he walks around, he looks like a schlub.
Yeah. He had on a hat and glasses and jeans, shorts, actually. Cargo shorts when I met him. Like,
bro, you're rich. Dress the part.
Well, he can afford to dress that way. Yeah.
He dresses however the hell he wants.
Yeah.
Sorry, Ted. Go ahead. We'll wrap this up.
No, I was just going to make the comment about like, with The Simpsons, you look at like how the Flintstones ran for so damn long as well. Things can change so much. What would it take at this point, like, to make something even better and even more so? I think that The Simpsons has fallen into our everyday lives so much that, I'll be honest with you, there is not a day that goes by. It's almost become mandatory in your psyche that you have to make at least one Simpsons reference At some point in a conversation, organically, it has to come up or my day is ruined. It's simple.
Yeah. Right? No, I agree. There has to be like some part of my life is related to The Simpsons. Every time I answer the phone, it's hello. Just like it's a part of us. You know, this show cannot escape us.
Amazing.
Yeah, I feel like The Simpsons and Curb Your Enthusiasm are a good path to living a good life. If you use those as your guardrails and barometer, you're going to be happy. Jaden, thanks so much for hanging out with us, man. We kept you longer than we said we were going to, but you're a lot of fun, and thanks a lot.
Thank you so much, Donnie. Chris, take care. It's been wonderful being here.
All right. We will post his socials up on the website and let everyone know where you can find out more. Thanks a lot, man. Oh, you just cut him off real quick there, didn't you?
Sorry, he's still back there. We can just wrap this up if you want to have a talk with him.
Sure, we can wrap this up. So, ladies and gentlemen, quick programming notice that we're going to share with everybody. We did mention off the top, the last few weeks, we did have to postpone the episodes because of just competing priorities in life and everything else that's been going on. And obviously, I'm busy with the new show that I'm doing with Jimmy Corderas, and there are a number of offshoots related to that show. I feel like I'm in my home studio 5 days a week now, you know, where it used to be one day a week. And yep. Tid's the same way with everything he's doing on his end. We're all under the same umbrella, working with the same team. And we're having a lot of fun doing it. But because of that, we've sort of made the decision at this point with this show, we're going to put it on the shelf for a little bit. We're going to take a little break. We're going to go on a little bit of a hiatus. You know, we started this.
We're literally gonna take a vacation because we fucking deserve it.
And we started this particular show. I mean, Ted and I have been broadcasting together since the internet started, but this particular show started in March of 2020 when the whole world was locked down and we just had nothing else to do. And life has become significantly busier since that time. And, you know, we're not saying this is it. You know, we're figuring out how we're going to present this moving forward so that it's not a burden on anyone's time. We kind of always said when this becomes a burden, then we have to pull the plug on it. And it's not that it's a total burden, but right now it's just finding the time to do this, as evidenced by the fact that we weren't able to do this the last 3 weeks, which is the longest we've ever gone without doing an episode ever. Yeah, that's just the reality of it, folks. So for those of you that have stuck with us for the last 4 years, thank you so much. We really appreciate it. You can keep up with everything that I have going on and a lot of what Tid's got going on by going to hugepopradio.com. You can still follow us on all our socials, Notorious TID on everything, Donnie.DeSilva on Instagram, because I don't use everything, but Huge Pop Radio is on everything. So you can look that up as well. And yeah, it's not goodbye. It's just goodbye for now.
Absolutely. Yeah. Listen, this has all been absolute killer times. It's been fun. I think that going forward, because we have so many different things pulling us in different directions, it means that this has to be revamped.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's all. Listen, you're still going to see this face over on at Tid Talk on YouTube.
Yeah, sorry about that.
At What's a Work over on YouTube, two YouTube channels over there. You're still going to see Donnie, or at least hear Donnie's voice on TSN Radio, and you know, the Hub. The family unit doesn't change in any way, shape, or form. I mean, you know, it's we're all kind of indebted to that little Brady bastard for some stupid reason anyway. So, you know, he owns us all, slave driver. But listen, it just means that when we decide to pick up the reins again with the next project, because there's going to be one. There always seems to fucking be one with this guy. It's going to be fun again. That's all.
Yeah,
that's it.
Yeah. It's just, you know what? That's life, man. So listen, thank you for hanging out with us. Thanks for everything. And we'll see you.
Like they say.
Fuck this shit, I'm out. Fuck this shit, I'm out.
No thanks.
Don't mind me, I'ma just grab my stuff and leave. Excuse me, please. Fuck this shit, I'm out.
Nope.
Fuck this shit, I'm out.
Alright then.
I don't know what the fuck just happened, but I don't really care. I'ma get the fuck up out of here.
Fuck this shit, I'm